Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Author Chats. I'm Elizabeth Kelly. Here on Author Chats, we feature in-depth conversations with authors about their recent works. And today, we are happy to have with us Heather Ann Thompson to discuss with us her compelling and critically acclaimed new book, Blood in the Water, The Attica Prison Uprising of 1971 and Its Legacies. And huge apologies to all of my listeners, as well as to Ms. Thompson, because as you know, this is cold and flu season, and I am coming down with something. This is not my regular voice. So with that being said, I see that Professor Thompson is on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Author Chats. Blood in the Water, The Attica Prison Uprising of 1971 and Its Legacy is a doorstopper of a book, meaning it's approximately 750 pages, but it's probably the quickest 750 pages I have ever read, and I sincerely mean that. For our listeners who don't know a good deal about Attica, what was the Attica Prison Uprising, and why is it important today in 2016?
Well, the Attica prison uprising began in 1971 in a maximum security prison in upstate New York, and it has remained with us both as one of the most iconic prison uprisings in American history, bringing together 1,300 men who will stand together to try to improve prison conditions in that pretty degraded facility. I mean, it was built in the Great Depression, had never been modernized, and conditions were terrible inside. And they launched this really extraordinary human rights struggle, but it was ended extremely brutally by the state of New York. And so the book chronicles not just their protest and the really dramatic day-to-day events that take place there, but also the 40-year story of the thereafter, what happened after the retaking of this prison. And it really involves everything from swindling former hostages to torturing former prisoners and having all of this covered up at the highest levels of New York state government and indeed really at the federal government.
Speaking of which, in the introduction to Blood in the Water, you talk about how you try to seek out certain documents that you knew existed, but you were denied access to those documents. What, generally speaking, has been the response to Blood in the Water by officials in New York State? And in particular, because of the book, have you now been granted access to those documents in question?
Background, this is a state prison. It's a state intervention in that prison. That is to say, state troopers are the ones that retake the prison. And yet, even though these are public institutions and public bureaucracies, nobody has been able to see all of the records related to Attica. So when I began the book, now 13 years ago, what I thought was going to be relatively short work ended up being a 13-year journey to try to figure out where these documents were and why they were really being sealed or at least, hidden away from the public. So I was able to find quite a few of these. I think dogged determination, also a whole lot of luck. And at the end of the day, I think the state of New York was quite alarmed by the story that's told in this book and has responded both because of this book, but also because of the pressure from the survivors, has responded by saying that they will now reveal these documents on a website, a New York State website. But I'm very skeptical. They say that these are the publicly available documents that we'll get to see. And frankly, that's not what we need to see. We need to see the internal documents that reveal the extent of, the cover-up for, frankly, the murders and the torture that went on in that facility.
If you've just tuned in, we're talking with Heather Ann Thompson. Ms. Thompson is a professor at the University of Michigan, and as she said a few moments ago, she spent 13 years researching and writing the compelling new book titled Blood in the Water, The Attica Prison Uprising of 1971 and Its Legacy. How and when did you first get interested in Attica?
Well, many years ago now, I came to Attica really as a civil rights historian. I thought, you know, this is really an amazing thing. We had a civil rights era where we learned lots about protests from places like Selma or even urban rebellions in places like Harlem. But we didn't really know much about this event in which people brought a civil rights protest to the fore behind bars. And so I just wanted to tell that story, really having no idea that it was really touching off a lot of things. Namely, the survivors were still suffering that event that many decades earlier because they still didn't know what had happened to a lot of their loved ones. And also, I didn't quite understand the depths to which the story was still being protected, or at least the members of law enforcement that had acted at Attica were being protected. So, frankly, what I thought was going to be, again, a straightforward history ended up being really trying to just retell people's stories, hopefully in an engaging narrative fashion to really bring us into this moment.
You interviewed a host of people and you read and studied as many documents and photographs as you could get your hands on. But other than the documents to which you were denied access, did you encounter any individuals who just wouldn't talk with you?
Well, I did, and let me actually say first that what was amazing was how many people desperately did want to talk. That is to say, people who had lost their fathers or brothers or children, frankly, at Attica, who really wanted to have their stories told, and then the survivors, the guard hostages who had been wounded by state police or the prisoners who'd been wounded or tortured by state police, they all wanted to talk, and that was invaluable to me. I was able to reconstruct much of the stories from the people who lived it. But that said, when I tried to pull the folks that were in the Rockefeller administration that still are around, those who didn't want to talk, nobody wanted to talk from the state police or certainly from the former Rockefeller administration aides, because again, you know, this is something that is still not available to us. You know, there's no statute of limitations on murder, so that could be one of the reasons. It could just simply be that they don't want to have to take responsibility or apologize, which is what the survivors want. But in any case, they just simply won't talk.
You used a term in the book, and I gather that other people have used that same term. And I found it rather surprising, given the magnitude of to what it refers, and that is retaking. That's a very innocuous term. Tell our listeners who don't know a good deal about Attica what the retaking, quote-unquote, was.
Well, so that term, I mean, I personally often use the term in the book assault, because that's what it was, the assault on Attica. But the official way in which it was discussed was the retaking. In other words, the state retakes control of the prison once the prisoners have taken control and initiated this protest. But you're right, the term is very innocuous, because in fact what it meant was that for 4 days, state troopers and corrections officers had been amassing on Attica's grounds, passing out weapons indiscriminately, making sure to not write down serial numbers, bringing personal weapons, not sleeping for 4 days, being riled up, being really fed on a diet of rumor of inmate atrocities happening on the inside, just simply not the case, but nevertheless, getting folks really, really riled up, and then sending those people into the prison to retake state control of it. So this is one of the most brutal assaults on a prison. Frankly, one in which all the federal and state officials knew was going to be brutal. They'd been told it would be. They could see it would be, and did it anyway. The troopers that go in do so after toxic gas has already been dropped on the prison. People are immobilized, and that's when the shooting begins. And within 15 minutes, you have 39 men, prisoners and hostages alike, who have been shot to death, and you have 128 other people so severely wounded, some 6, 7, 8 bullet wounds, that they are then enduring that trauma. So retaking is very innocuous. It was literally an assault on the prison.
Well, and beyond that, it was torture. It was sadistic. You have pictures in the book of prisoners being stripped and marched and running a gauntlet. One man forced to hold a football on his chest for hours and hours and hours, and told if it drops off you will be shot. I mean, this was sick stuff.
Yeah, and indeed, I have to say that, you know, that was the most difficult part of the book to write. I mean, the trauma that happens in the wake of this assault on the prison is really what was one of the most important untold stories about Attica. The prisoners were certainly trying to tell that story and did so, you know, were determined to do so, even in courts of law for the next 25 to 30 years. But most Americans don't understand what exactly went down, and it was indeed torture. There's no other way to put it. The state of New York kept saying it was just, at best, a fraternity hazing, but we now see the pictures and we have the documents, and frankly, we have the personal accounts of what had happened. And I have to say to you that the, you know, that even the medics, the doctors that finally show up on the scene, they are appalled. They are sickened. Some of them are so traumatized by what they see before them that they will then come to court, you know, 30 years later and testify on behalf of these prisoners because they are so, again, traumatized by what they've seen, that level of abuse.
And I must say, although for the past few minutes we have been talking about the brutal conditions inside the prison and how exactly these prisoners were tortured upon the retaking, your book has a good degree of balance in it, and you discuss the families of the hostages who were taken by the prisoners, and you talk about the other traumas suffered by people who were not prisoners surrounding the Attica uprising. You alluded
to the troopers. Some of the troopers are very traumatized as well. You know, the guards are traumatized, the troopers. This is really a story, actually, of the people with the most power who care so little for the people with no power. And that's why, you know, I hope at the end of the day the story is not just about trauma, but it's also about this remarkable story of prisoners and hostages and even troopers all speaking up, right, refusing to be silenced. And so it's kind of that David and Goliath story as well.
Final question for you. You mentioned a few moments ago 30-some-odd years of litigation. Did the prisoners, did the families of the prisoners, did the hostages, the families of the hostages, did the troopers and their families, did anyone ever gain any type of compensation for these horrible, horrible few days in 1971?
Well, they do. Ultimately, the prisoners will take the state of New York to federal court on civil rights violations, and that's in another amazing story unto itself, really how they just continue to press for these moments in court to tell their stories. And they do get some financial recompense, and so do the hostages ultimately, although not until 2005, and the prisoners not until 2000. But I think that it's important to understand that neither group feels that they got, because to this day, the state of New York refuses to admit responsibility, refuses to apologize, and frankly refuses still to give those records to the families so that they know exactly what went so wrong. So there was money, very limited, by the way, once it was divided up. Someone could get killed and their families would get $6,500. But in total, it was not the justice that they all sought and in fact still seek today.
We've been talking with Heather Ann Thompson, a professor at the University of Michigan, about her compelling new book titled Blood in the Water, The Attica Prison Uprising of 1971 and Its Legacy. Thanks so much, Heather, for joining us here on Author Chats. I learned a good deal from your book, and it's one that I will think about and ponder upon for a good deal later.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to all of my listeners. Please remember, injustice anywhere threatens justice everywhere. Have a good day.